You're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlenger. My guest today is Reverend Sekou. And that name, Reverend, is not a gimmick or an act. It is earned. Reverend Sekou is a preacher, a pastor, an author, and a social activist. He studied philosophy at the New School, religion at Harvard University, and he's lectured throughout the country and abroad. In 2014, Reverend Sekou was a visiting scholar at Stanford University's Martin Luther King Education and Research Institute. When news broke in August of that year that Michael Brown had been killed, the Reverend went to Ferguson to train hundreds of people in nonviolent civil disobedience. We talk about his experience in Ferguson, including being arrested multiple times, and the music it inspired. We also talk about where his passion for social justice comes from in the first place. And the Reverend shares a story about the first time he experienced racism in the small southern town where he grew up. He was little at the laundromat with his grandmother, and the way she reacted to what happened, I don't know, man, I think this story will stick with you for a long time. Reverend Sekou's latest album is called In Times Like These. Here he is performing the song that opens the record and addresses the spirit of peaceful and passionate protests that Reverend Sekou took part in Ferguson. It's called Resist.
Yeah.
That is my guest, Reverend Sekou, performing live on stage at the World Cafe, the song Resist off his debut solo record In Times Like These. Reverend Sekou, welcome to the World Cafe.
It's a pleasure being here. Thank you so very much. I'm a big fan.
Good. We're happy to have you. So just a minute ago, I told people that you are an author and a preacher and a social activist. You're making a liar out of me with that performance. I mean, people might think that you were born on the stage doing what it is you do.
Well, I come from a tradition of singing. So in preaching, we sing. In organizing, we sing. As Southerners, we find several occasions to sing.
Yeah. So when I put on the record, that's the song Resist that opens it up. But before I hear that song on your album In Times Like These, there's a really powerful clip. And I want to play it for people so that they can hear it, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you do, no matter what you say, you can lie on us, you can scandalize our names. We will not bow down.
So that's a mighty powerful clip, and that is your voice.
Yes.
Tell me where you are.
So during the Ferguson uprisings, a group of local and national organized a Ferguson October as a way to draw attention to the killing of Michael Brown and to put pressure on the federal government to intervene. And so that was at the Ferguson October rally. And then 2 days later, there was a massive set of arrests throughout the city in acts of civil disobedience.
Yeah. So I want to go back a minute. So Michael Brown was the unarmed black teenager who was shot and killed by a white police officer named Darren Wilson.
Yes.
In Ferguson in August in 2014.
Yes.
What were you doing in your life around the time that you found out that he was shot and killed?
So I was serving as the pastor of social justice at the First Baptist Church in Jamaica Plains in Boston. But I was actually on leave. I was studying at Stanford University's Martin Luther King papers, where I was attempting to write a book on Martin Luther King. And so I was a scholar in residence at the King papers in Palo Alto. And then I saw the killing. And quite honestly, I didn't think much would happen. In terms of given that, you know, every other day in America this happens. And then when I saw the uprising, it became clear to me that I needed to go home because I was born in St. Louis, raised in Arkansas, but went to high school in St. Louis. And so my family is there. I knew that neighborhood. I had driven down those streets. I knew a lot of the people that I had seen on TV. And so I felt compelled, if not called, to go home.
Yeah. Tell me what you saw when you got there.
Military-styled policing. I saw Humvees. A military force occupied Ferguson for at least 100 days. And then I saw resistance. I saw young people who had been betrayed by every institution, every level of government, making the nation pay attention to their humanity and that their screams were heard around the world.
How do you get people to trust that what they're doing in a nonviolent way is going to work, that the system is going to listen and to stick to it when you're faced with violence from the other side?
Well, you know, it is fundamentally a faith claim, right? It is to step out onto nothing and to land on something is the claim of faith. It is to convince folks that we don't want to become the thing that we are fighting against. And at the same time, it comes with some heartbreak, particularly when we recorded the song Burning and Looting, that it was me reflecting upon the night that Darren Wilson was not indicted, the screams of mothers, the wailing of young people, and shortly after the no bail was given, riots broke out. And so I was in the middle of those riots trying to protect people, trying to get folks out and that kind of thing. And Martin Luther King says that riots are the language of the unheard. And so it is also comes with some heartbreak because we had promised young people that if they were nonviolent, if they were committed to civil disobedience, the system would bring justice, and it did not in that instance, and unfortunately does not in many instances. And so it's a faith claim in the face of that reality. It is to look at the material conditions which say no and to say yes to the possibility that there is a different way to make change.
And you were arrested twice, too, right?
Four times.
Four times.
So I was arrested four times in Ferguson, faced up to 100 days in jail. One of the cases was dismissed. I was found not guilty in another, and then...
What were you arrested for?
So the first time I was arrested, I was praying. Riot police were coming at young people, and I got in the middle and prayed. And so I was arrested for that, and I was tried for that case and found not guilty. The second time was during Ferguson October, when a number of activists from around the country, including Cornel West and Reverend Jim Wallace and others, were arrested in acts of civil disobedience to draw attention to the abuse of the by the Ferguson police. Then another time I was actually snatched off the street by mm-hmm. police, and that case was signed off with just with me agreeing that I wouldn't sue the city for an unlawful arrest. And then the last arrest was a federal case. We descended upon, on the one-year anniversary of Michael Brown's killing, we descended upon the federal building in St. Louis to pressure the federal government to intervene, because it was clear that the state and the municipal governments were not going to give us justice. And that case was, a fine was paid, and that case was charged off as well.
Oh, wow. How hard is it to stick to the faith claim when you're being arrested four times for something like that and you're constantly fighting? Like, does it ever really, really, truly test you and your resolve?
Yes, there's no question about that. But my grandmother used to sing this song, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away."
Reverend Sekou, thanks for that. That's really touching to me. You mentioned just a moment ago that the song "Burnin' in Luton," covering that song on your album "In Times Like These," came out of the moment in Ferguson.
Yes.
So I want to hear you play it for us, but tell me what you're thinking about when you play it.
So Brother David, who runs 30 Tigers, suggested that we do a cover song, and suggested that cover song.
It's a Bob Marley tune.
Bob Marley, yeah. A cover. And so Luther and Cody Dickerson of the North Mississippi All-Stars, who produced the record, Reverend Charles Hodges was on organ, A.J. Gent, who I believe is the greatest steel guitarist of his generation on steel guitar, and Raina Gonzalez singing background. We sat and I told the story of that night of the riots and what I experienced. And so we wanted to do honor to the legacy of Bob Marley, who for me, even though I'm a blues man, is the model of the particular kind of tradition that I want to be a part of, someone who is thoroughly grounded in their religious tradition with an eye on justice, and that is embodying the legacy of a rural creature who moved to the city. And so given those similarities, I wanted to do justice to that reggae tune, but in my own tongue. And so I speak in the tongues of blues.
Let's hear you do it. This is Reverend Sekou performing live at the World Cafe with a cover of "Burnin' in Luton."
This morning I woke uniforms of brutality.
Performing live at the World Cafe. Yes, that is live. That is my guest, the Reverend Sekou, with a cover of Burnin' and Lootin', as you can hear on his record, In Times Like These, his debut solo record. So you have devoted your life to social justice and talked about covering that song sort of in the spirit, I guess, of what Bob Marley did with music as well. And I want to ask you when the link between social justice and music began for you. Like, does that go back to childhood?
Yeah, so I grew up, you know, singing "I Woke Up This Morning With My Mind Stayed on Freedom," and over my head I hear "Freedom in the Air," or "Oh Freedom, Oh Freedom Over Me," before I be a slave. I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. So music was part of my life and part of the way in which we resisted in the context of Arkansas. I was raised in a little town called Zen, Arkansas, with about 11 houses and 35 people in Arkansas Delta. And so music was a way in which we sustained ourselves. And so for me, it was just kind of part of the way in which I grew up. I'm a classically trained vocalist. I sang in, all through middle school and elementary school and high school, sang in churches. Went to college on a vocal performing scholarship at a small historically black college. Had been threatening to do an album for about 10 years. Nasa Troutman, who discovered and manages NDIRE, is a dear friend of mine. It's called The Revolution Has Come, is the first record. And then I was presented with the opportunity to do this solo record with the North Mississippi All-Stars. And so that's kind of the trajectory of the music.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back to Zen, Arkansas for a minute. I'm like picturing this, these 11 homes and 35 people. Who are the people in your
Among
community?
Among them, between Zen and a place called Colt, Miss Roberta comes to mind. Miss Roberta couldn't write her name. But she taught me everything I know about being an intellectual. So my job was to read to her. I would read her papers to her. And so she would come to me. She would call me, boy, you come here and read to me about our people. And she always had a hand on her cane and royalty in her voice and a snuff bucket to her side. Mr. Andrew, her husband, who was, was 60, but, as a 6-year-old, he was my best friend. And so he took me to get my first haircut. And so I was raised by a community of old people who loved me deeply, who tore off the best pieces of themselves and sewed it into a quilt. And it still covers me to this day.
I read a little bit about your grandmother. I don't want to ask you about her because she sounds like something else. Mm-hmm. 4'11", carried a pistol in her purse.
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Tell me
she was
it.
Known, her name was Houston Cannon, and I'm older than I am. And I hope to be. It's because that old woman who got a 6-month-year-old baby at 55 years old.
Oh, really?
And she saved my life. And she just loved me. In fact, when I was making this record, I would go and I'd stand at her grave. And so if my first record was for the movement, the second one is for her. She taught me to read at 4. And she had dignity. So I wear suits most days because of her. I'm still dressing up for her.
You're listening to The World Cafe. My guest is Reverend Sekou. Social activism is such a huge part of your life. I mean, it is. It seems like it is your life. And I'm wondering if there's a personal experience or a moment that you had that drew you to it.
Well, I mean, part of it is I got a limited skill set. So I write pretty good. I organize a little okay. I talk pretty good in front of audiences and I sing all right. So part of that is just, it's in my wheelhouse. The other piece is, it probably goes back to the time I was like 6 or so, the first time I heard the word my grandmother and I were, our washing machine had gone out, and so we went to the nearest place to wash was a trailer park, the edge of a trailer park, and we walked in. There was a little boy and his mother. And in my childish mind, I thought, he with his mother, I'm with my mother. I hadn't probably quite discerned that my grandmother wasn't my biological mother at that time. I was a kid. And so we walked in, and so I said, oh, kid with his mommy, I'm with my mommy. I got my Hot Wheel truck. He has his fire truck. And so I was excited, and he was excited. And he yelled, mommy, mommy, look at the look at the. So I had never heard the word before. But I could tell on my grandmother's face that it wasn't a good word. So I started crying. And she said, hush up, boy. I didn't let them run over us when they was lynching us, and I'm not going to let them start now. And so the 20-something white sister was like, you know how kids are? And my grandmother was like, no, you taught him that. Children do what they're taught. And that was the kind of end of that conversation. And then as we're leaving, the woman, we could hear her crying. It looked like she had run out of washing powders or money. And so my grandmother walked over without saying a word, gave her two rolls of quarters and an unopened box of washing powders. And on the way out, she stopped me in the little gravel parking lot. And she says, boy, you speak truth with grace. And I said, yes, ma'am. And so that's kind of the moment that I kind of trace it back to, that you confront the darkness, but you do it with dignity and grace.
Houston Cannon.
Yes.
The definition. It has been an absolute honor to talk to you today. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a blessing.
Yeah, it sure is. You're listening to The World Cafe.